Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. Trust that you've been blessed by just being here thus far. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'll be reading verse 1 down to 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together as we're, again, finishing up, coming to the end of our Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month. And it's been a blessing to see just how that we have learned so much and seeing the examples and illustrations in the Word of God concerning Faith Promise Missions. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Start reading at verse 1. We'll read down to verse 11. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord God, for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, the opportunities that each one of us had to be here this morning, and for each one that's here that's taken advantage of those opportunities. We thank you for your presence in this place and what we've already experienced. But now, Father, as we open up your Word, that which you have preserved for us, that we might know the very mind of God, I pray, God, that you would give each one of us that ear to hear what you have to say to us individually. For only you know where we're at spiritually in our lives, what kind of spiritual food we have need of. I just pray that, Lord God, today that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Samuel, as you studied the Bible, and if you read the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, then you'll find that he was a great, great servant of the Lord. Samuel was used by God to transition God's people Israel from being led by the judges. And if you would read the book of Judges, you'll see just all that took place there and how God would work through the judges to deliver his children Israel and to lead them in the right direction. But now we find that in the book of Samuel, and as we study the life of Samuel, he's used to transition Israel from being led by the judges to having kings. This would be a very important part of the Old Testament history of Israel. For out of the kings would come David. That there's much prophecy concerning David and the lineage of David, and how that Christ himself come from the lineage of David, even though he was the very Son of God, the only begotten, the only one of a kind. But yet there's so much there, and as we're going through the Old Testament into the New Testament, this transitional period of time was very, very important. Had it not been for Samuel, it would have been much different. God knew how he wanted to use the life of Samuel. But before he could use the life of Samuel, Samuel would have to be birthed. Samuel was Hannah's faith promise offering. If Hannah had not have committed Samuel, even before he was born, as a faith promise offering to God, then God would not have had the life of Samuel to be used to accomplish this great task that he would use the life of Samuel for. Now the story here, as we've been reading it in verse 5, Hannah was barren. She would not be able to conceive, but it was by design. Somewhat like in the New Testament in John in chapter 3, the man that was born blind. And the disciples asked the Lord, who sinned, the parents or this man, that he was born blind? And Jesus revealed to his disciples that neither had sinned, but the man was born blind. And this is what the Bible says in John 9:3, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God works to get us to the place of service. Listen to me. God works to get you to the place where you'll have an opportunity, first of all, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the place of repentance when they would acknowledge their lost condition, understand that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and have an opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon Him to be your Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance. Now, God will work in our lives, but He will not force us to confess our sin and call upon the name of the Lord. But He will make a way for all to be able to have that opportunity to acknowledge Christ as Savior. God worked it out for everyone that's here this morning to have an opportunity to be here. You had to take advantage of that opportunity. You had to make a choice when God gave you the opportunity to have a choice to come to the church that you were going to come to the church. God works in our lives to get us to the place of service. That's what He was telling them about the man born blind. God worked in his life to get him to the place where he would cry out to Christ that he might receive his sight. God worked in Hannah's life to bring about a man that he would use in a very mighty way in the Old Testament by the name of Samuel. Hannah did not have to make this vow. But after spending time with the Lord in prayer, verse 11, look over there with me, she knew this to be God's will. You see, that's how you find the will of God for your life. Spend some time with the Lord. Asking God. Pleading with God, even at times. We find here that in verse 11, the Bible says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, I'm your child. You're my God. You're my heavenly Father. And remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid the man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She was saying, she was taking the Nazarite vow that she would raise him as a Nazarite under the Nazarite vow to serve the Lord with his life. If you give me the opportunity, I'll raise him for you. I'll give him to you. By faith, if you will bless me and allow me to be able to give, then I will give him to you. That's what Hannah is doing here. God gives her a son, and Hannah and Elkanah keep her vow. And God uses Samuel for his glory. And Hannah is blessed beyond expectation. Now, that's it. That is an illustration of how faith promise missions works. Praise the Lord. That's it. I mean, we could just go ahead and close the Bible and leave it. That's the story. But I think we need to stay here a few minutes longer because we need to make some applications. There's no doubt if you understand faith promise missions and you look here in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament stories was more than just historical facts. They are. Everything about the Old Testament is historical facts. But God has worked and He has preserved these stories in the Old Testament, not just to entertain us, but He has preserved these stories in the Old Testament so that we might learn biblical principles from their lives that never change. Truth never changes. If it was truth a million years ago, it'll remain truth a million years from now. Biblical principles never change. A biblical principle that was taught then is the same today and will be forevermore. Biblical principles are just truths from God. And so there's many biblical principles we can learn from this story of Hannah and Samuel. First is the idea of an illustration, a perfect illustration of how faith promise missions works. As you look at Hannah herself, the one who made this faith promise commitment, Hannah desired to fulfill a purpose for her life. Very important to know that. Now, God works to get us to the place of service. God worked to get her to the place where she would surrender her life and even be willing to commit her very first child to the Lord. And in order to do this, she was barren by design. She was could not conceive by design. Elkanah married Peninnah, his second wife, to give him children. Now, as we study the Bible, we find in the very beginning, and as we see in Mark chapter 10, that Jesus revealed that it's never been God's will for multiple marriages. It's always been God's will for one man, for one woman. But as we look to the Old Testament, and this time in the Old Testament, they didn't have the completion of the Word of God. Their bodies were not the temple of God. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And even though it was never God's will, God allowed it in this Old Testament period of time. Now, Acts in chapter 17, I want you to see this because I always have a lot of questions on polygamy and Old Testament and was this right? And never was God's will. God reveals it's always God's will for one man for one woman, one woman for one man. We find here in the book of Acts that the Bible reveals something to us that will help us in trying to understand God's will and understand God's thoughts and God's ways. Here we find that the Bible says in verse 18, chapter 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says there was a time when, because of man's ignorance and they did not have the full opportunity to understand the perfect will of God, that God winked at that. But now there's no excuse because we have the completion of the Word of God. And so He commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of anything that would be opposite God's will and commit themselves to doing the very will of God. Now, that helped me.
As you read the Old Testament, you see multiple wives and different things, understanding just how God allowed that. They didn't have the very same accountability as what we would have today and understand the complete will of God because the Scriptures were not complete. But after Christ came, He revealed once again the perfect will of God. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Two things that are perfect. The very life of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, was a perfect man as well as a perfect God. And He left behind for us His perfect Word. Amen. And so everything else be put behind and look to the Word of God. And so we find here that this is what was taking place. And right or wrong, this was part of what the history was, and this is what happened. Hannah knew that she was not fulfilling her purpose as a wife or mother. She couldn't give her husband children. She couldn't give her husband children. She couldn't raise them for the Lord. And so she felt her life had no purpose. Children were looked upon as a gift from God, as they should be today. Children are a heritage of the Lord. You better acknowledge the fact that God's the one that gave you your children. And look to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Raise them for the Lord. That's God's will for every parent. And every parent will stand one day and give an account to God for how you raised your children. I often tell our church family here, and especially in counseling, you'll not give an account for how they turn out. You'll give an account for how you raised them. They have a free will. But if you raise them the way God tells you to, you give them the best chance to make right decisions. And making right decisions will allow them to turn out right, will allow them to accomplish the will of God for their lives. And so we want to give our children the best opportunities, and the way we do that is to raise them with the understanding of God and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Children are a heritage of the Lord. So we find here that Hannah realized that children were a blessing of God, and so if she did not have children, then she could not give her husband children. She could not raise them for the Lord. And so she felt like that she did not have the hand of God upon her life. And she was losing purpose for life. And of course, the Bible says that Peninnah just soon her be out of the picture, and she would have Elkanah for herself without competing. I don't know how they did it myself, but competing with another woman in the same house. And so the Bible says she made her feel bad. And she just kept bringing it up. You don't have the blessings of God. You can't give Elkanah what I could. You can't raise them for God like I can. All the different things. Your life is meaningless. Your life is worthless. We find that this, over a period of time, look at verse 7. She would do this. In verse 6 it says, and she provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as verse 7 says, and as he did so year by year, as he took them up there to worship the Lord, as it was part of the Old Testament plan that God had for his children. When she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah says to her, why weepest thou? He sees her crying all the time. And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? All this was taking place. He's seen that she was possibly losing her desire to live. He tried to comfort her by saying, well, you can still be my wife. Aren't I better to you than 10 children? He said the wrong things. I mean, you know, that's not what she wanted to hear. She lost her purpose. As Christians, if we are not fulfilling our purpose for Christ, we will not have His joy. Jesus taught that in John chapter 15. Let me just read it to you. Write it down where you can go back and refer to it. But John chapter 15, verse 10, He says this. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Our purpose is to obey the word of God, obey the commandments of God. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He knew Christians. He knew his children. He knew that in order for us to have the joy of the Lord, then we must be confident in knowing that we are fulfilling the purpose by which God has us here. If we're not fulfilling our purpose for Christ as Christians, we'll not have his joy. Part of our purpose that he had revealed to them in the Sermon on the Mount is that we're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Not to lose our savor, but to understand that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are to make a difference. Part of that making a difference and part of the purpose that we have here is our testimony. Your testimony is how you live your life. What people see in you. Your testimony in your home. Your testimony in your workplace. Your testimony in society. That's part of our purpose. Be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is supposed to be, is someone who is Christ-like. And so my testimony ought to be Christ-like. Wherever I am, wherever I go, part of my purpose is so people might be able to view Christ in me. Part of the purpose that we have is not only our testimony, but our witness. Our witness beyond what they see is what they hear. How we communicate with them. How we're able to share with them the gospel. How we're able to share with them why that my testimony is thus. Why that I live this way. And why I prefer these things. And why I cannot do these things. And why I will not do that. Our testimony. And then our witness. And how we communicate with them to help them to understand that there is a God. And because of God, and because I'm a child of the Lord, I'm a Christian, I cannot and will not do those things. And then the outreach. Our testimony, our witness, and our outreach. They kind of go together, because then once you've had a right testimony and you have the right witness, then the outreach is, would you like to receive the Savior, my Savior? Would you like to have the hope of everlasting life? Would you like to escape a devil's hell? Would you like to have a heavenly Father that you can turn to at any time? Our outreach. Our outreach is not only soul winning here at home, but our outreach is commitment to reaching the lost around the world. Faith, promise, missions. Part of our purpose. We're here. We know the truth. We're living in a world that is losing sight of the truth. That is getting darker and darker as time progresses. Because this earth and this time period is leading to an end. And it will become darker and darker as we get closer to the end. There's going to be even greater apostasy. Apostasy is a falling away from the things of God. There's going to be an Antichrist movement. And you can see it if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. You can see that our society, even in America, this great Christian nation, is moving toward an Antichrist mentality. All prophecies. All what the Bible tells us will happen. And it will get darker. And as the world gets darker, there's a greater need for the light. And that's the church. That's the Christian. Hannah's desire to fulfill her purpose led her to God. Led her to prayer. She looked to God to enable her. Look at verse 9. Can I tell you, understanding that God has a purpose for your life ought to lead you to God in prayer to enable you to be what God wants you to be in your home, at your workplace, in society? Verse 9. The Bible says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten. And Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She went there.
And she was in bitterness of soul when she went in because she had lost a purpose for her life. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. It wasn't just a repetition of a prayer. She wanted to get a hold of God. And as getting a hold of God, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaiden, I want to serve you. I want to contribute. And remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This is what God is looking for even today in our own lives. Can I tell you that we all have something to give, and God has put you in a position. God has worked in our lives to get us to that position to where we are willing to give. God wants you, first of all. Give yourself to the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Once you're saved, then God will enable you. He will give you talents. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He will work in us to enable us to do work for Him. All of us, if you're saved here this morning, you have an ability, you have a gift. God has a purpose for your life. And you'll not find that joy, that true joy, until you are using that for God's honor, for God's glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Amen. Everybody following me this morning? Stay in. Stay here with me. It's a blessing to understand this. This is all the biblical principles that are taught by Hannah's life and giving her child, making a promise by faith. God, as you give, then I'll give him to you. And we find here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. That's what God's looking for. A desire, a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God will never require of you something that you cannot give. But He will require of you that which He has given you, so that you might give. And in giving that, you'll find that you'll have the joy of the Lord. You'll find a purpose for life and realize the power of God and the hand of God upon your life. And the more we give, the more of a desire we'll have to do more. We'll experience the power of God and the presence of God and the joy and the peace of God. And we'll want more of that. And so we find that the way to get more of that is to be willing to be used in a greater capacity. God, continue to give to me so that I might give to others. God, give to me that I might give to others. I believe that's what the Christian life is all about. That's the purpose of our presence on this planet Earth. That is the light of the world. That is the salt of the earth. It's what the world needs. So Hannah had this desire to have a purpose and to fulfill the purpose. She was born to give. She left here. Go back in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She left knowing that God would answer her prayer. Amen? Once she knew that God had a purpose for her life and she gave it to the Lord and by the will of God, and then God gave her a peace concerning, you'll be able to do that. Because of your faith and what you've asked for, and you want to be a giver, and you want this, she had the peace of God that she would have a child, and she would have an opportunity to give this child to the Lord. Look at verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. She wasn't eating before, now she's eating. And her countenance was no more sad. Amen. Amen. And they arose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord.
and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She knew that God would enable her to give. And just knowing that God would enable me to fulfill the purpose that He has for my life brought her much joy. It changed her whole outlook on life, and she was a different person than what it was she was when she went to the temple. Before I surrendered my life to serve the Lord, I was saved when I was 8 years old, and many of you know my testimony. As a teenager, I got a little wild and rebelling and running from God. I always knew that God had a purpose for my life. But at that time, I didn't want to know that purpose. I was running from that purpose. And Satan was there to open many doors for me. It was unreal what I was able to do, even as a 17-year-old young man. At 17 years of age, I was managing the Tibbs Outdoor Drive-In Theater. At 17, I was the manager. Now, the main reason that I got the job is because I worked for my brother, Gary, who was the manager. And he wanted a raise. They wouldn't give it to him, so he quit. And they realized, even at 17 years of age, I knew more about running the place than anyone else there. And they made me the manager. I went from there because I lived out in New Palestine. I went there and I became the day manager of the National Drive-In Outdoor Theater. Now, this is, my goodness, 40 years ago. Okay? But this is my time when I knew I was saved, but I was running from the purpose of God for my life. And I had these opportunities, and I was able to have these, and I was making good money at that time. To the place that I thought that at that point I've always been an independent thinker and an independent individual. And I told Mom and Dad, well, it's time for me to have my own place. It's time for me to get out on my own. I don't want to be dependent upon you any longer. Look at what I'm doing at 17. I soon, almost 18 years old, I moved out of the house. And during that time, a lot of things took place. Being without accountability. Without having Mom and Dad, and still being very young, but having all these different things going on in my life. And Satan did a work in my life to bring such an oppression. And at 18 years of age, I was so oppressed. And I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a more darker time in my life than what was going on at that point. At the place that I wanted to move back in with Mom and Dad, but after I moved out, they sold their house and bought a trailer. And my two younger sisters had, that's all that the trailer could hold. And so there wasn't room for me. And now I'm feeling like, sure. Abandon me. But it wasn't them abandon me. I moved out. Young people, you better think about that. Yeah, your mom and dad might get themselves a smaller house where you can't go back. I was in a very dark place in my life, and at one time, I didn't even know if there was a purpose for my life at all. God opened a door for me to move in with my sister June and Ron. At that time, I needed a spiritual influence in my life. From there, because they were going to an independent fundamental Baptist church, I started attending an independent fundamental Baptist church. And when I started attending a church where I heard the gospel preached, God started speaking to me, and I understood the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that dwelled within me. And before long, I had committed my life to Christ. If I had given up on life
And I was at a dark place. I could have done that very easily. I could not see beyond my present circumstances. At 18, I couldn't see me having a life. I couldn't see the purpose of my life. And Satan oppressed. And if it hadn't been for a spiritual influence in my life, and me making right choices at that point, I would not be standing before you this morning. Chances are there would not be a Lighthouse Baptist Church. God used my wife and I 28 years ago to plant this church. I would not have two girls that love the Lord and serve God. I wouldn't have the 5 grandchildren and twins on the way. If I didn't realize God did have a purpose for my life. And what it took for me is to make the right decisions to seek the Lord instead of living on my own and having all these different things come into my life that I thought was going to be helpful, that's going to give me money and give me the things of this world. They actually brought oppression into my life, which led to no purpose for life. If Hannah had not went to the temple to pray, she was at the place where Satan wanted her dead. Because without Hannah, there would have never had been a Samuel. And without Samuel, God would not have had a man to work through to lead His children Israel to a time of the kings. Wow. Satan wanted Hannah dead. Sure glad that she sought the Lord. You might be in a very dark place in your life right now. You might not be able to see past your circumstances. I tell you that God has future blessings. God has a. If you still have breath in your lungs, you're alive, you're in church today. Can I tell you, it's not a coincidence that you're in church today. Can I tell you that God has a purpose for your life? If you want to experience the joy of the Lord, it'll be you making the right decisions. She was faithful to fulfill her vow. Look at verse 27, 28, we're done. For this child, she says, I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of Him. Asked to make my life, give me a purpose for life. Asked to be able to allow me to be used. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She paid her vow. But that wasn't the end of it. Look in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. After she paid her vow, once she seen the purpose of her life and she was able to serve the Lord, she says that Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. No greater foundation to stand on than the rock of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, we're done. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Not only did she find the joy in having the one son, but afterwards, God blessed her with 3 more sons and 2 daughters. You see, my life, likewise, has been filled with a purpose. Could have very easily ended when I was 18. I lost purpose because I was making the wrong decisions, going in the wrong direction. And God gave me an opportunity. Started influencing me in the right things to make a right decisions. And in making right decisions, the closer I got to the Lord, the more purpose my life had. And with more purpose for living comes greater joy and peace from God. Your life has purpose. Let God work in you to work through you. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Look to God with the desire to fulfill the purpose of your life. It'll make a difference. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for how you work in our lives. Even when we're under so much oppression and the world seems so dark, there is a light. We thank you for that. As we look to that light and we make those right decisions, we'll find purpose and blessing and joy. Lord God, only you know just what's going on in the lives of all that are here today, and I just pray that they would receive the message and make whatever application that you have for them to make. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.